Here we go. This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We really don't need to be popular. We need to win.
Do you increase the buzz factor, Mass?
No.
Do you think that J.D. Martinez brings buzz to the Red Sox?
No, I don't, because not enough people have seen him on a regular basis, and not enough people know who he is. Again, he's a late bloomer who's played in Detroit and Arizona and began in Houston. So it's not like he was ever even in the division, anything like that. From the sizzle standpoint, the sex appeal standpoint, I don't see any significant gain. I told you, I question whether this is a significant gain from the baseball standpoint. We'll see.
I think it's created a little bit of buzz because half the people hate it. I just think it's created a little bit of a tension point there. I mean, not that you know it from the people that cover the team. Again, 100% support from the people who cover the team. 100%. Even though this guy was released 4 years ago, was barely in the league 3 years ago, just hit 29 home runs in 62 games in a place where they've had to bring in a humidor because it's such a pop gun ballpark. And those atmospheric conditions, even though free agent signings generally don't work, and even though they almost never work here, even though the Red Sox are 0 for their last five, and as I say that, is it fair to say, again, their last five free agent signings, over $75 million, major free agent signings, David Price, Pablo Sandoval, Hanley Ramirez, Carl Crawford, John Lackey. Is that fair to say 0 for 5?
Not quite 0 for 5. Can I give him a half for Lackey?
For Lackey?
Yeah, I think Lackey was, at the end, Lackey was pretty good.
So is someone who covers a team like, this maybe is not the best idea? Whether I agree with it or not, just every once in a while to have a dissenting opinion would be nice, but nope. Uniform. Buckley? Shaughnessy? Like, they're all in love with the move. Shaughnessy likes the thing.
Oh my God,
are we doing?
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. He was referring to him as Jack Clark in his column. I don't know how complimentary that is.
He was just saying that that's the last time he was this excited. But it's hard. You're right. It's hard to tell whether Shaughnessy's being sarcastic or not. But I think he liked it. Tony and Stoneham, how do you feel about
Roger,
it?
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, good. I got a challenge from Mr. Maz over there in a minute. One thing, I love your sponsor, Dunkin' Donuts, but tell them to bring back the egg, bacon, and cheese sandwich in the morning. Now, you guys are unbelievable. For a month, you've been yelling that the Red Sox have done nothing. Now they go out and sign the best guy on available in free agency, and you're complaining about it. I don't understand.
So, Tony, but we also, from day one, said we don't want this guy. We've been saying that from day one. You know
that.
All
right, well, I'll give you that. Now, Nash, here's a challenge for you. I want you to talk to me and the listening audience, and you tell me how the Red Sox ever could have gotten Stanton.
They could have taken on the whole contract, Tony, is what they could have done.
The whole contract?
Yeah.
But you tell me, when's the last time that the Red Sox and the Yankees have made a trade, and you're telling me that Jeter, a Hall of Famer that now controls the Marlins, is going to trade with the Red Sox?
So you think that Jeter will never do a deal in the division then other than with the Yankees?
I do not think that they would trade somebody like him to the Red Sox. Yes, maybe in the future there may be some borderline players that he may trade and everything, but there's no way he's going to trade the best slugger in baseball to the Yankees' rival.
Yeah, I don't think it's the bad job that you do. So, again, to me, Jeter's way too competitive a guy all of a sudden to go to Florida, go to Miami, and all of a sudden he's still doing favors for the Yankees? For what? To me, Jeter was going to take the best deal. And if the Red Sox had given him the best deal, they'd have gotten Stanton. The Red Sox, you keep pounding this part of it, and you can convince yourself of that Derek Jeter was never going to trade him here. Dave Dombrowski himself said the Red Sox didn't want to go down that road. Okay, the Red Sox didn't want him. They were never really in on it. So how could you possibly say that there was no way that he was going to trade Stanton here?
Never wanted the contract. Ray in New Bedford on Pace of Play. Hi, Ray.
Hey. As far as speeding up on baseball, you guys want to focus on the exceptions. But if a pitching coach visits the mound four times a game, which isn't that unusual, and the catcher such as Sanchez going out to take a mound visit 8 or 9 times a game, including triple visits in an inning. In reality, by cutting down on 7 to 10 mound visits, saving 45 seconds each. Is that not real time? And they will fix the exceptions. Plus, was going to tell Maz a secret, but instead going to ask him where Felger is. Florida again? Since he can't keep his secrets. Thank you.
Maz can't keep his secrets? Is that right? Were you telling people where I was on Friday, Maz?
I don't remember. I think I said it the day you were on. I think I said it on Thursday.
I work very hard to keep my location secret. Can you tell by my bright red face? I mean, I don't know if that gives it away.
I mean, you're not somewhere cold. I know that.
I came in a little hot. That's fair. The pace of play, we just find it ridiculous. 6 mound visits, okay, which doesn't include the mound visits that take the pitcher out. All right, so it's 6 other mound visits, and then there again, all the exceptions. They're not going to change these exceptions this year, caller. I mean, that's in future years. Again, one exception allows for position players and pitchers to chat as long as neither one has to relocate. I love that one. What does that mean? The definition of relocate, I'm reading from the Herald, will surely be debated. Yes, it will. Another exception allows for players to visit the mound if they're cleaning their spikes during rainy conditions. Again, and that's in air quotes, rainy conditions. It's like, if that little, you know, shoe scrubber thingy is back there, anyone's going to go back there and rub their cleats and visit the mound.
Correct. Yep, that's in play.
Visits can also take place if there's any concern about a potential injury. This one is total bullcrap. If a pitcher is hurt, what is Hanley Ramirez or Christian Vasquez going to do about the guy's ankle? Are they doctors? There's no reason for anyone other than a trainer to come out there and visit the mound. So I don't want to see this thing like, oh, my arm is broken. The next thing Vasquez makes in another one of his million visits out there to talk to the pitcher, and that wastes another minute of our lives.
No, no.
Like, you know that's coming.
Yeah, Hanley's going to run out there and say, how you doing?
And, Maz,
everything okay?
If the hitting team makes a substitution on the bases or at the plate, then the defensive team can visit freely without it counting against their 6.
Correct.
If it sounds exhausting, writes the Herald, imagine how difficult it'll be for the umpires to enforce. So it's just like, it's not going to make a sniff of difference.
Well, once I saw the list of exceptions to these rules, I said, forget it. This thing's never going to work. I told you. Apparently, I'm still on the MLB mailing list or the emailing list. So when they issued the release, it showed up in my inbox, and I opened it up and started reading it. I got to Section 2, Definition of a Mound Visit, Subsection A, where it says, these do not constitute, and there are 4 of them. And I went, oh, boy, here we go, A, B, C, and D. And then even later, talking about the breaks between innings and the warm-ups, special circumstances, Section 2, A, B, C, D. There were 4 of those. And I went, oh, God, here we go. Like, do you want to speed up the game or do you not want to speed up the game? If there are 4 exceptions to every rule, what the hell is the point of having the rule in the first place?
Excellent question. Derek and Lemonster with the Bruins thought. Hi, Derek.
Good. I wanted to bring up the fact that isn't this Bruins team just eerily reminiscent of last year's Celtics team, where their success, while surprising, is kind of going to probably come to an end when Pittsburgh and Washington, who they probably cannot beat come April or May, are going to wake up and remind them that while they're a cute little story, they're not ready for prime time like Cleveland did last year with the Celtics.
Probably so. Absolutely. But I just hate the Celtics-Bruins comparisons because they're totally different sports. In the NBA, the Celtics, and everybody else, with the exception maybe of Cleveland, maybe. But for the most part, everyone's playing for second place, and there's nothing the Celtics can do to beat the Warriors. It's not a sport where upsets happen when you get to that level. So the chances of the Celtics beating or, you know, running up against their team and then getting past that team are 0. They were 0.0 last year against Cleveland, and they're 0.0 this year against the Warriors. It's just the way that sport works. The Bruins against the Capitals? The Capitals are going to be heavy, heavy favorites. But do the Bruins have a 1 in 10 chance of winning that series? If they play Pittsburgh, would I give them a 2 in 10 chance of winning that series? Yes, I would. So that's where the comparisons end. The Bruins are a cute little story. They're overperforming. They're overachieving. And they'll probably run up against a better team eventually, and it'll all go poof right there. The difference is, and the Celtics, no shot. So that's why those comparisons, just they bug me. They're just... It's apples and oranges, and it's not about the team. It's about the sports. We continue with your phone calls here. Felger and Maz on what it amounts to a glorified reentry Monday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. And Maz. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Inside of his day-to-day activities, I don't think I've seen a more passionate, smarter hitter walk through his day-to-day activities. He studies. He watches as much video as I've ever seen. He understands how the pitcher is going to attack him. He has a game plan against every pitcher. And, you know, just watching the routine from the time the game started until he was finished with his at-bat never changed. So he's a very dedicated, routine-oriented hitter, and it all translates.
How do you feel about it, Boston? Rick in Rhode Island, how do you feel about it? J.D. Martinez to the Red Sox.
Hey, guys. First time ever calling. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
Hey, I want to alleviate the fears of all the Red Sox fans out there. J.D.'s going to be fantastic. All you got to do is punch up the video on YouTube. The D-backs Dodgers game, September 4th, 2017, of last year. He hit four home runs against four different pitchers in that game, and he went 4-for-5. I watched that video this morning, and I got all excited. The guy's going to be awesome. And he's going to make all the other hitters on the team better, too.
Maz, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How's his swing?
So, again, I don't know enough about him to answer that. I don't know enough. Again, what I read is that he completely overhauled it and changed it. And when he went to Detroit, and then Miguel Cabrera worked with him, and he became much more right center focused, which is usually a good sign. It means you let the ball get a little bit deeper in the strike zone. It allows you to hit to all fields, particularly if you have power. And so all of that stuff, great. Again, I want to see how the ball jumps off the bat at Fenway Park and whether he can hit the ball out there. Because every time I look at Fenway, Fenway's a bad home run park. Okay, so, and I'm not saying that the home runs are the be-all and the end-all. And look, the four-homer game, great, whoopee. Yay! Woo! Scooter Gennett hit four home runs in a game last year for the Cincinnati Reds. I don't get geeked up about one game. I'll tell you, though, I am interested. I'm going to watch more video on the guy because I want to see what the power looks like to the opposite field and whether or not it'll work in Fenway. The numbers suggest it does. Okay, the numbers suggest it does, and everything on paper suggests that it will. When you look at his spray charts, everything of the like, it indicates that he can hit the ball out to the opposite field, which is a good sign. I need to see it at Fenway.
John in Springfield wants to weigh in on the Bruins. Hi, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
For something I didn't say.
He swore.
Oh, all right. Yeah. He swore. All right,
No. What I'm saying is he can't be a seventh defenseman. You don't give up a third-round pick in Rob O'Gara for a guy who's not going to play. Or slots. You do this to upgrade Matt Greslick. Ideally, because I think Torey Krug is better suited to third-pairing minutes. And the deeper you get in the playoffs, I don't know if Torey Krug can hold up physically. Ideally, you win the trade if Holden plays in your top four, slotting Krug down to the third pair, and that Holden plays well enough, and you win. Like that to me is that ultimately is where Holden. That's where I'd feel best. But at worst, it's got to be an upgrade over Greslick, who again I like. I don't mean to dump on, but he's just too similar to Torey Krug. It's two undersized left shot guys who are short in stature, and you wonder can they hold up to the physical pounding when you get into the playoffs. So there's that. Since that Bruins guy swore, let me pull up another one. Steven in Boston on the Bees. Hi, Steven. Steven? Okay, babe. You can call us back. You know the number. We continue with your phone calls and the J.D. Martinez story. We've got Howard in West Boylston. Howard, what do you got on the Red Sox?
Yeah. Hi. First time caller. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, does this take the Red Sox out of the running for Bryce Harper next year?
Well, Maz, money-wise, if J.D. Martinez works and he hits 40 bombs in the middle of your lineup, then he takes him out of the running. He takes the Red Sox out of the running for Harper because you won't need him.
Correct.
Yeah, you won't need him from a baseball standpoint, but from a salary standpoint, how much does this potentially handcuff them down the stretch?
So I don't think it does a lot. And again, I did the math this morning. They're at about, I don't know, $230 million right now. And so the number they don't want to go over is 237, but they're going to lose a lot of guys at the end of this season that'll free up some dough. Hanley's going to free up $22 million. Pomeranz is another $8.5 million. That puts you over 30. Kimbrell's another 13. That gets you to 43. Now, look, some of the money is going to go to raises for people like Bogarts and Betts, but if you want Bryce Harper, you can still go get him. I don't think that this is a deterrent in that way. You know, I have questions about whether they can land Harper and whether they would have wanted to have done it independent of whether they had Martinez on the roster. But I don't think the math still works. I don't think it's a math issue.
We've got Casey in the car on the new pace of play directives from baseball. Hi, Casey.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Just wanted to throw out a really, really radical idea. You guys are talking about cutting 4 or 5 minutes off of this roll and that roll. I say cut the last three innings of the game off. Let's just make them six innings and turn it into a, you know, two and a half hour game.
Well, Casey, I'm telling you, our grandkids, I've said this many times, our grandkids will enjoy a baseball game that has three balls, two strikes, two outs, and six innings. Lop a third off the whole thing. Lop off a full third. A third of an at-bat, a third of an inning, a third of a game, and let's go one step further. 142 games or whatever a third is of that. You know, lop off a third. If ever a sport needed a third of it, just lopped off like some sort of pus-ridden boil on the back of your tuchus. It's baseball. It needs it lopped off, man. A full third lopped off of that sport. My grandkids, hopefully, enjoys a game. Three balls, two strikes, two outs, six innings. That's it, Maz.
Yeah, Felger, instead of playing six innings, I think what they should just do is start in the fourth.
Dave on the Cape has a thought on J.D. Martinez. Do you like the signing, Dave?
Listen, first of all, every time you say he got released, did David Ortiz get released or not back in the day?
I think he was traded. I think it was technically a trade from the Twins. Wasn't.
I think he was released. He wasn't traded.
Was he released, Maz?
Yeah, he was released. Yeah, technically he was released.
Sorry. Yep. So they just signed David Ortiz.
I'm just saying, let's get over that. I look at OPS. The last 4 years, 912, 879, 908, and I know last year was phenomenal because of Arizona, but that was 1066. So Red Sox leader last year was Betts as a regular, 803. So in my eyes, and the kid's swing is pretty good, Maz. Once you start looking, I'm not going to say he's going to be balls out crazy, but give him a couple years, he's going to be working for that bigger contract with the buyout. So he's going to be into it. Think of it. He could potentially get $30 million a year in the 2 years if he's hitting 45 a year for us.
So I mentioned that before, Dave. I mean, sure, that carrot's in front of him, and so maybe that motivates him. It's just, if he opts out in 2 years, he's 32 going on 33. And if there wasn't the money that he wanted for him as a 30-year-old, there's going to be money for him as a 32-year-old? That doesn't seem to make any sense. I mean, unless he's hitting 60 bombs a year, you know, I mean, do you really expect him to hit more than the 45 he hit last year? I mean, let's just say, you know, he matches last year, which would be phenomenal. He didn't get what he wanted as a 45 home run guy at 30. How is he going to get what he wants as a 45 home run guy at 32?
He's not.
Okay, so I think he's here. I think you're stuck with him. And the thing on David Ortiz, wasn't Batista released as well, Maz?
I believe that sounds right. I think he went to play. Didn't he go and play in Japan and then come back?
I can't remember. So I mean, that's another one that gets thrown at me because I'm not a J.D. Martinez guy. You know, Ortiz got released. Batista got released. How old were they when they got released? I'm asking. I'm not sure.
Ortiz is 26.
Okay. Well, you know, J.D. Martinez was 26 too when he got released, or 27. He was in that same range. So, all right. You're telling me this is David Ortiz. Great. Great signing. No question. A bargain at $20 million a year. Our buddy Mike in Woburn wants to weigh in on the Bruins trade again today. Holden, what's his first name? Nick Holden from the New York Rangers. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
Yeah, so I don't hate this. It's, this is sort of a
waste. Yeah, which is rare for you, Mike. That's notable that you don't hate it.
I've been very positive about this season overall, Felger, considering I thought this was going to be a developmental year, and the way this whole thing has turned out, it's... Like, they're dealing with house money. I just didn't want them to see something like moronic or idiotic or Shirelian, you know, to shoot this team in the foot for a ill-found short-term gain and no long-term sort of wherewithal. Given the recent deals that they've made for defensemen, like, they gave up a third and a fifth for for John Michael Lyles, who was 35, and they gave up a third that could have vested into a second for the corpse of Andre Mazaros. I don't know if you remember those two.
Sure. Of course I do. Oh, brutal.
Yes. This one feels more like the Seidenberg deal, where we all think there's something like, maybe there's another shoe to drop somewhere. But a guy who can play middle pairing minutes, a guy who can play on both sides of the ice, who seems useful, who seems like a guy who'll push a couple people down on the roster. This isn't a bad deal. I think it's a sort of a measured response to this team overperforming, but also, you know, Sweeney knowing that, you know what, they're doing so well, I have to add. I have to add and see where this goes. I mean, if he slots next to Carlo and that becomes the shutdown pair, I'm not sure if I like that as much, but honestly, like, it seems like I'd love to see what else happens. Like, did you see Aginla showed up in Providence?
No.
Jerome,
what do you mean showed up in Providence? Like, what do you mean? Like at the mall? What do you mean?
No, he showed up he was practicing with the Providence Bruins. Apparently he's, you know, mulling a comeback. And why would you not want a guy who could be a veteran presence on this team like Mark Recchi? I'm not saying that Aginla will have the same impact, but you have another guy in that locker room that is a focal point, a rallying point for the team to say, let's win one for this guy. An emotional guy that won't cost anything, that will cost you absolutely nothing. A mascot, call him. Call him the Jerome Bettis of hockey. I don't care. But I don't see anything wrong with that. It's a literally a zero-cost addition.
Okay, when's the last time he played?
No idea. None.
He's 4 months removed from hip surgery. And,
right.
In my opinion, he's one of the great losers of all time.
Shocking that Jimmy would dump all over it.
No, strong take there. Stu, why is he one of the great losers of all time?
He chose. Remember when he left Shirelli with the bag? He chose Pittsburgh over you, and then the next year he comes crawling to you on a lesser contract, and he ends up screwing up that Bruins team. No, thank you. Didn't he go somewhere else and suck? Oh, that's right. He picked Colorado because he thought they were going to be a cup contender. Oh, they were rebuilding? Oh, yeah. Loser. Go away.
All right, so the price is right. It's zero, right? There's no acquisition cost. So I get Mike on that. Nothing to lose. I'm shooting for a little higher on Krejci's right wing. I'm shooting a little higher than Jerome Aginla. Here's an update from Murray.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Martinez, high fly ball, deep left center, and there it goes, J.D. Martinez. Martinez hits it high in the air, deep right field, and that one is gone. Fly ball, right field, there it goes! That's his third home run in three at-bats. J.D. Martinez, is it four? It's gone! J.D. Martinez homers in four consecutive plate appearances at Dodger Stadium. And the Diamondbacks are beating up L.A.
Since the caller brought it up, and Maz, again, four home runs in a game, you could care less.
No, not impressed. I'll tell you, though, I did just go back and watch a video of it, and he did hit, you know, two to left. Or I would even say one to left center, one to right center, one to right, all of which is a good sign. Okay, again, good sign. And it was at Dodger Stadium, which is not a hitter's ballpark. It's a pitcher's ballpark. So, again, good sign. But you tell me, are they going to be playing with a Titleist one again this year, or what are we playing with? I don't know.
So I'm stupid. So those were at home.
Those are on the road. Those are in Los Angeles against the Dodgers.
Okay, so you don't get to bring up the moist ball situation.
No. What about Josh Fields and his power pitching?
So the pitchers
Rich
they
Hill.
Were against.
Rich Hill's what, 40 now?
The four pitchers were Josh Fields, Pedro Baez, Wilmer Font.
What's a Wilmer Font? What's that?
I've never heard of Wilmer Font and Rich Hill. So, Jimmy, your thoughts on the four homers and your thoughts on J.D. Martinez. Why don't you just get it out?
Suck, 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 suck. Terrible. Won't work. It's concise, right?
Why do you believe that?
I don't believe in the player, and it seems like there's a humidor issue in Arizona. Comerica's a big hitter's ballpark, despite what all the people think. We have the numbers. Fourth most runs scored in baseball last year. But, not a hitter's ballpark. Blah! It's not going to work here. And the player himself has only played 123 games once more than in his career. Like, we're giving out $20 million for a guy who we hope to play a balance of the season. It's just stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And he's not a difference maker in a lineup. Tell me, if you're a pitcher out there, do you fear J.D. Martinez? I sure as hell wouldn't.
See, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Murray.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm curious about Murray's thoughts.
When I heard it yesterday, I shrugged because I never wanted the player in the first place. But the money and the deal, the fact that he can opt out after 2 years if it doesn't work out for him and he's Adrian Gonzalez or someone like that all over again, like, I can't get mad about the money, but I don't want the guy. I'm with Jimmy. I don't think he's truly going to be a difference maker. I want the stud next year. I had already resigned myself mentally to kind of being checked out on this team and it being like a, hey, whatever, they'll squeak in and lose in the first round again for the third straight year. And then in the next offseason, they can make a play for a real stud like a Manny Machado or a Harper or, you know, even at the trade deadline, maybe add a Josh Donaldson. Instead, we get J.D. Martinez, who all of a sudden people are pretending they've heard of before. Because before this offseason, let's be honest, unless you were a hardcore psycho seam head, you hadn't.
And if this player was so good, why were there two teams on him?
He's getting choked up.
Why were there? Yeah,
it's a sign from God, Jimmy. They want you to shut up now. I just think that, look, the guy had an awesome year last year. There's no disputing that. He might be the answer the Red Sox want. I allow for that possibility, too. But I can't sit here in good conscience with a guy whose home run totals go 23-38, 23-45, and the 45 in a contract year when he plays on the moon in the second half of the season and tell you that he's the guy that's completely going to alter your lineup for this season and beyond. I don't know that yet. I want to watch him on a regular basis. So again, I know what the numbers are. I've seen the video. What's it going to look like in Fenway Park? Because there aren't many right-handed hitters who come into this ballpark and can hit the bullpens with any sort of regularity. If this guy can do it the way that Manny could, great. And when I say Manny could, not that he had to do it all the time, but the threat was there that Manny could take you out to that part of the ballpark, and as such, there was no real way to pitch around him. If there's no real way to pitch around this guy, I'll feel the same way.
That's Maz's big thing today, the opposite field power. Mine is, I just want to see how he performs when he's hitting fully moistened balls as opposed to those little tightless ones, as Maz just said, out in Arizona. We'll finish up here with your thoughts. Jim in Warwick on the signing. You like it, Jim?
Love it. I'm a first-time caller, and I love the signing. I think he's going to be the replacement that they needed since David Ortiz. And I was amazed last year at how the production dropped for most of the guys in the lineup, you know, minus Pedroia. I think he's hits the ball great to the opposite field, and he's going to bank a lot of balls off the monster. Really psyched about the signing.
Let me just stop you. Maz, is this the kind of guy that protects others in the lineup, or did he benefit from protection from, say, Goldschmidt in Arizona or whatever was going on there in Detroit? Is he someone that protects people, or did he take advantage of protection afforded by others?
Well, it feels to me like it is more the latter than the former. I mean, he's been in a lineup, again, with two of the best right-handed hitters in the game here over the past, what, 4 or 5 years, somewhere in that window?
Cabrera and Schmidt?
Yes, and Goldschmidt. Yeah, so now I look at it and say, well, now he's the centerpiece guy. What happens all of a sudden when teams start approaching him a little bit differently? And look, again, I'm not telling you that I hate the signing, because the contract is not bad. I don't think this is a debilitating signing. I don't look at this guy and automatically go, he's the answer, the way I would have felt if it were Stanton. Stanton, to me, no-brainer. Stanton can hit it out of the Grand Canyon. This guy, Fenway, for right-handed hitters to the opposite field is a tough pull. I want to see if he can do it.
Okay, a couple of Bruins thoughts here. Jerry in Southie. Go ahead, Jerry. What do you got?
All right, this guy is not a top-four D-man. I've had my Rangers buddies making fun of me all day that we gave up a third-round pick for a traffic cone. So I'm really hoping that he's not going to replace any of the young guys. I hope he's just a depth guy. I think they really do need to go out and get a winger for Krejci. I think these young guys are going to go up against it in the playoffs and fade a little bit. So that's what I'm looking for from them.
Okay. Holden, again, I haven't watched him or paid a great deal of attention to him. I'm just giving you the minutes. Averages around 20 minutes a night, which usually means you're in the top four. Matt in the car, your thoughts.
Hey, Mike. This Holden guy, I mean, the minutes aside, if you look at, I know you don't like the advanced stats, but if you look at those, he should not have been a top four defenseman. He's a third-pair guy. at his best.
Matt, let me ask you this. Were there his numbers this year or overall in his career? Because this year, the whole Rangers team is a complete dumpster fire, and I don't know if it's McDonough's numbers are bad this year. Everyone's numbers are bad this year on the Rangers. So I think want to give me the last three? Is that a better sample?
Yeah, the last three. I mean, he's an under-average player as far as, the Corsi stats go. And, I mean, it's reflective on Sweeney at the deadline. He's afraid to pull the trigger on a franchise-altering move. Go out and get a Trouba. Go out and get a Jonas Brodin. Somebody that can help you. You've got too many left-handed wingers. Heinen, DeBrusk, Bjork, Donato, when he comes up, there's not enough room for all these guys.
Okay, Matt, I think that's a fair point. He's going to have to pick and choose. All these young guys that we like, they're not all going to make the team. They have more than 20 space. You know what I mean? So he's going to have to poop or get off the pot eventually. This team, Maz, do you think there's the urgency to make that transformative kind of move this year with this team? Should they be looking at that?
No. See, I don't think so. I don't think that you need to make a blockbuster kind of move with this team, nor should you. Because I think that this team's overachieved. And so, look, it's a great story. Don't get me wrong. We all love what they've done here. You brought up that stat earlier. They haven't lost two straight games in regulation since November.
Over 3 months.
November! Since before Thanksgiving, U.S.,
Since Cassie bench Rask, they have not lost back-to-back regulation games since they bench Rask in November 15th.
I mean, that is utterly amazing in that league, especially given the fine line that exists between winning and losing, that you will have not lost two consecutive games of regulation for that length of time. That said, I could easily see them getting bounced in the first round. Easily. And so I look at it and say, is this really... They're early. They got here early. Don't get stupid. Don't get crazy. You've done a nice job restocking the system. Don't all of a sudden strip it to go get a veteran player for a team that's really not cup ready yet.
James in Malden has a Red Sox thought. Hi, James.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. What do you got?
So listen, I just wanted you guys' take on this. Kind of comparing the Red Sox to the Yankees. I mean, you guys were kind of speaking on it before how the Red Sox got... J.D. Martinez, and the Yankees got Stanton. I think the Yankees won on that deal. But, looking into the season, you got both new managers coming in. I honestly think it's going to be between the Sox and the Yankees coming down to the home stretch. I just want to see how you guys think they compare, going into the playoffs and throughout the season.
Okay. Maz, right now, it's the Yanks are favored in Vegas. The Yanks are favored on the Maz big board. Is that a lock in your mind?
Well, nothing's ever a lock. I mean, with the way that sport goes, I mean, things are fickle. But if you're asking me today, am I betting the Yankees? Yeah. And look, I sent you the odds earlier that in courtesy, I think it was Bovada who had the odds. The Red Sox odds have improved since the Martinez signing. They have improved, but they're still behind the teams you would expect them to be behind. Cleveland, New York, Houston.
And they should be because they're not as good as those teams, even with this addition. As much as they'd like to convince you so, and look, and I sent this in the email chain this morning because I found it hysterical. Like, the flagship station, our competitor, is already running a promo that goes, "The Yankees add Stanton. The Red Sox sign Martinez. The war is on." Which, when I heard it, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. They got a Ferrari and they got a mid-sized sedan, the Red Sox. Like, please, stop trying to sell this as something it's not.
So, now, look, I think the Red Sox have the better starting pitching, but I also think that when you look at it, Severino, Sonny Gray, the Yankees aren't awful there. I think their bullpen is better than the Red Sox. Their lineup clearly has more power in the middle, for sure. Their farm system's better than the Red Sox now.
Look, they're 10 times more interesting.
No question.
I don't know how much better they are. I'll leave that to you baseball experts. I mean, does their lineup outweigh the Red Sox clear advantage in starting pitching? I don't know. And where are the bullpens really? So I'll leave that up to you. In terms of who's a more compelling product, it's not even close.
Yankees.
I mean, so not that that matters. As John Henry said, we don't need to be popular. We need to win. So all comes down to that. Final word comes your way right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
Not even back, but that's fine. We're going to go with it anyway because, you know, there's only so much time we have here in the final word. We had some fun at the expense of Red Sox owner John Henry, who spoke at the picnic tables yesterday.
Murray, by the way. Nobody.
Thank
Sorry.
You. All right. There he is. Yes, John Henry at the picnic tables yesterday. Very off mic, very soft spoken as usual. So we had some fun
so
with that.
So annoying. Can someone put a mic on the guy? It's not like he actually got a booming voice. Put the mic on the guy, for God's sakes. You can't hear him even on a good day.
So I'm not the least bit surprised that he's here. I thought he was going to end up here all along.
See, I thought they had tightened up in terms of the wallet and the spending this season, so I was a little surprised when this deal ended up coming down, especially after him sitting at the park bench yesterday. Say,
I'm pretty happy about the team and where we are right now. No one comes near me unless it's Linda. You hear me?
Is that what he's a bad germ foe. He's worse than I, from what I understand. He's as bad as I am.
No one's
Maybe it's just that. They don't get anywhere near him with your filthy microphone. So, Murray, what does that sound like again?
If there's one thing I know about it's aggressive. It's being aggressive at the plate. That no good son of a bitch, Chili Davis. He didn't get those guys ready. I might not know, but that's what I feel.
What the hell is he talking about?
He thinks they should have been trying to jack the ball more. I thought they were easy outs oftentimes because they were trying to jack everything they shouldn't necessarily jack. And by that I mean, you know, guys like Betts trying to pull balls on the outside part of the plate, and now they become easy outs on top of it.
Let's not forget we were also really aggressive on the base paths too. That kind of caught up with us.
I mean, look, the bottom line.
The first things first, put a mic on the guy. God, good Lord.
It would be nice to hear him.
That Chili Davis, he sucked.
I don't know, maybe we should do the Felger and Maz show this week.
Keep your damn dirty hands off of me.
I think maybe we should just, maybe this is a better way. What does they say? You want to get someone's attention? You should whisper?
No one's coming near me with that lav microphone. Don't you touch me.
I kind of like this.
Yeah, I could have done that all day.
Hey, what do we have on the show tomorrow? Can you guys tell me that? I was just wondering. Mike, will you be back, or are you going to be in parts unknown tomorrow? Yeah, are you back in studio, or are you going to be far
I'm gonna
away?
To make it, I'm going to try and make it back.
We don't care about popularity.
I think we should all do tie a string to a couple of cups and do the show from home tomorrow.
All we need to do is win.
Maz also didn't like something else Red Sox related, then bringing in Celtics head coach Brad Stevens.
Oh, for some reason, this crawled right up his tailpipe.
Yeah, all those
rings he has.
Celtics coach Brad Stevens spoke to the Red Sox yesterday, Maz, in Fort Myers, and you have a problem with this.
Well, I was just wondering, I saw people talking about it, like, oh, yeah, Cora had him address the team, and I thought, oh, great. Like what? Like he's Bill Belichick? All of a sudden? Or like who, Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, John Wooden walked into camp? Like, oh, let's go have him address the team on winning. What's Stevens ever won? What does he have to address the team for? Like, I just found it comical that this got played up. Brad Stevens addressed the team. About what? Growing corn in Indiana? What did he tell them exactly? How to give the ball to your best player and get out of the way? Like, I just cracked me up. Like, Brad Stevens addressed the team. I don't know, maybe I'm in a dinkish mood today. I don't know what it is. But I saw it and I said, you've got to be kidding me. Brad Stevens addressed the team? Bill Belichick brings in Bill Russell. The Red Sox bring in Brad Stevens? Maybe that explains why the Red Sox are who they are.